This podcast contains explicit content, is of graphic nature, and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We want to state that this is a fun hobby for us and is not only about true crime.
When we go off topic, that portion of the show may not contain facts or research.
Because we are having a good time.
We hope you enjoy our spin on the topics we discuss.
Welcome to the Two Girls True Crime Podcast.
This is Katie.
And this is Courtney.
Just two girls talking murder, true crime, lore, and other phenomena.
Today, we are introducing our new segment called Listener Email Chronicles. Once our awesome listeners start sending in more emails, we will start adding this to our episodes. Please put Listener Email Chronicle Story by and your name in the subject line. During this time, we will also shout out the first names of new Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
So, Listener Email Chronicles will have the emails, of course, from our great listeners. And then, Patreon supporters. They're going to be the ones that help us. Please let us know what you think of the new addition to our podcast. Of course, we will not include your last name unless you otherwise specify. And, as you probably already know, but I'm going to say it again, twogirlstruecrime@gmail.com. And as you know, two is spelt T-W-O, not the number two.
Email us, you guys. So chronicles can be anything that coincides with our podcast. True crime cases that you'd like us to cover, personal UFO sightings, maybe a ghost encounter, unsolved mysteries, cold cases, cases that might not be so mainstream or, you know, less heard of, lore, any other phenomena that you'd like to share with us, we can feature in our Listener Chronicle email segment. If you send us an email that you'd like us to share or don't want us to read on the air, just please note that in the subject line in the body of the email.
And the body of the email, yeah. So you put in the subject line, hey gals, you know, I'd really love you to hear my personal story. You know, this happened to me or a friend. And you'd love for us to hear it. We'd love to hear those stories. And we don't have to put them on the air.
If
absolutely not.
Yeah.
So if you want us to hear this.
But we would love to email. We would love for you guys to email us and tell us your story. Because this is going to be a great, I think, addition to our podcast. Don't you think,
yes,
Katie?
Yes. We love
emails.
Hearing stories from other people. We love. You know, you could be across the country and this could have happened.
We know nothing. We know nothing about it.
This can happen in another country and it could be something small. If it's not national news, we may not have heard of it, but we would love to hear it.
And
we
share
loved,
it.
We'd yeah.
Bring it to the world.
Oh, yeah. And we definitely love to be able to read it on the air if you want us to. And if not, like we said, we'd love to hear it. So,
on that note... We've received our very first listener email for our Chronicles.
A huge thank you, not only to our very first email for this segment, but also she is a Patreon supporter. She believes in us, guys.
That makes us feel great. Amazing.
We appreciate you more than you could ever know. It's the first step towards us being able to work on this podcast more and more and even bring some merch to our podcast, you know?
I would freaking love that.
Yeah. So, you know, for us to be able to afford to have merch, we need to have money. You need to have money in order to get these things, but we would love to offer these things to you guys. And then, hey, one of these days we're walking down the street and see you guys wearing our podcast shirt.
True crime shirt. Would you die?
Oh my God, I would totally die.
I would die.
Driving down the road, seeing a sticker in
on
the
a
window.
Car.
Oh my God, yeah, car window.
Because I
think I would pass out.
No, I would die. Because this is a hobby for us right now, as you guys know, but
we enjoy this hobby.
We enjoy it so much. And
you know what they say?
What do they say?
They say a job is a job, right?
Right.
You go to work, it's not work. It's work, but it doesn't feel like work if you enjoy what you do.
Right.
And if we could do this all the time, there's a lot of work that goes involved. I mean, let me tell you.
Editing, researching.
So the research takes such a long time, and finding the right research that, you know, appeals to us and hopefully it's correct, you know. And we both have full-time jobs, plus we do other things on the weekends that take away a lot of our time. So we really squeeze this in as much as we can.
And they're obligations that, unfortunately, yeah, we can't set aside.
Things that we can't set aside, or we absolutely would. So, if we have enough Patreon supporters to be able to, you know, pay for us to have a day off work, then we could be researching and recording and editing
one day a week.
One day a week, and then who knows, maybe more. So, you know, we just wanted to say
thank you so much, Stacy, from Sonoma County, California.
Here is Stacy's email. Hi, ladies. I grew up in Sonoma County during the time of the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, my God.
Huge. Huge. This is us saying it right now. Huge, huge, huge case. It really sticks out in my mind because they had cops on our school buses for our protection. Did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
No,
that's terrifying as a child. There's a killer out there. And, you know, of course, as a child, you think he's after you because that's how it is.
Well, then the parents are terrified something's going to happen. You know, just awful. I remember him writing letters to the newspapers, who would then publish his letters for all to see, which only caused more people to be frightened. I remember being terrified to go to sleep at night. I was about 10 years old. They did a handwriting analysis to try and profile him. They never caught him. They don't know if he died or was incarcerated for a different crime. That crime and Polyclass, which happened in Petaluma, along with Ramon Salcedo, which happened in Sonoma and Cotati, all happened in my county and really hit home. My daughter was Polyclass's age, and her friend's father was a cop on that case. I had just come home from having a C-section, and I recall hearing helicopters overhead while looking for Ramon, who killed many people in my town, including his entire family. Amazingly enough, one of his three daughters, who is my daughter's age as well, survived a slit throat. They found her in a field by the Sonoma County dumps, laying next to her two dead sisters, who both died from their throats being slit by their very own father, Ramon. All of this happened because he was out doing drugs, and he was thinking that his wife was cheating on him. My sister used to party with him before this happened. Thank you for the great podcast. I enjoy listening. Stacy from Sonoma County, California.
Wow. Okay, so when I saw this email come through, I automatically, first of all, I loved it. But the Ramon...
These are three well-known cases.
Well-known cases. And I did a little research because you know me.
Oh, yeah. Research is key.
And this Ramon Salcedo. So let me tell you a little bit about what he did because this is just incredible to me. So Ramon Salcedo was convicted for the 1989 murders of seven people, Katie, including his wife, his two daughters, 4-year-old Sophia, and 22-month-old Teresa. A third daughter, 3-year-old Carmina, was left lying in a field beside the bodies of her sisters for 36 hours. Can you imagine?
No, but I do remember that the reason that she made it is because...
The way that she was sitting.
Yes, the way she fell was with her head shoved up against her chest, and that helped...
Stop her bleeding, to not bleed out.
If she would have had her head backward, like leaning back, it would have been open.
Right.
So it was clogged shut.
Right.
So that saved her.
Right.
And, you know, at the county dumps, That's, I mean, you're dumping your children at the dumps.
It just freaking blows my fucking mind that this guy can, I specifically remember he put them over his lap and slit their throats and threw them in a field by the dumps like they were trash.
And all of this because he was on drugs and alcohol, partying that night, up for hours and hours, and you know what?
Thought his wife was having an affair.
And she did. One of the girls is not his.
You're kidding me. I didn't hear that.
You didn't?
No.
Swear to God. That's and I think it might be Sophia. Which one is the youngest?
So, there's 22-month-old Teresa is the youngest.
And what's the second one?
Carmina's 3 and Sophia's 4.
I can't remember which one it is, but...
That's really close in age. 3 and 4. That's back to back. That's Irish twins.
It is Irish twins.
Can you imagine?
No.
Fuck that.
But, yes, so one of the children ended up not being his. I don't know if he ever... I mean, he must know now because it's out in the public, but...
And correct me if I'm wrong, the wife was a model?
She was an up-and-coming. She was doing some modeling stuff, and, yeah.
And it made
she was into modeling. She was jealous, and she was a beautiful blonde gal. And so she was supposed to have a modeling shoot, I think, the next day.
Right.
So the last scene... time she was seen was at the video camera of an ATM machine where she was getting money out.
Okay.
And I think it was because she had a photo shoot the next day.
Wow.
I could be wrong. We'll look more into it when we do this story because I think, thank you, Stacy. I think this is a great story to do. We'll definitely get as much information on this as we can.
Well, just
and if anybody out there has any, you know, personal... views on this. Did you grow up in an area where Ramon Salcedo was? Did you see him in your life before this happened? Did you, you know, did you grow up or live near Sonoma County when this happened? And if you know anything or have any personal stories, it could be one snippet. Hey, right. I was at the bar one night having a drink with my girls. We have a girls' night out. And I saw him and another guy, you know, partying it up, playing pool, whatever. I don't know if he played pool. Went into the bathroom and then came out. And that's as far as we know. He goes in the bathroom.
Right.
Out, he's snorting something.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Let me just... Okay, so Stacy says her sister used to party with him. So that's... Right there, that's a personal story.
Yeah.
And that's...
Exactly.
Can you just imagine you're at your house and you're hearing helicopters overhead because they're searching for this guy who's now killed 7 people and injured 2.
And the kids, all the kids in the surrounding elementary schools of Cotati and Sonoma County were on lockdown.
Yeah. While they looked for this guy.
Yeah.
So you know, Carmina survived, okay? This is the one that was left in the field for 36 hours.
Lucky.
She was very lucky to survive and kind of a happy ending. She was rescued and later adopted by a family in Missouri. And then in 2009, she actually wrote a book, so...
And in that book, she explained how... awful those people were that adopted her and made her kind of
some
nun-like,
religion,
remember?
Right?
Yeah.
We're really familiar with this case, yeah.
Yeah, we saw it, we saw a 2020, I believe.
Yep, on ABC.
On ABC, and so that's why we're a little bit more familiar with this one, and we're going to watch it again before we record this one. It's definitely on our list.
Yeah, and I just wanted to read a little detail here because this is interesting. So it was on April 14th, 1989, after a night of drinking and snorting cocaine, he slashed his daughter's throats, killing Sophia, Teresa, and Carmina survived. He then drove them to the county dump. Salcedo then drove to Cotati, where he killed his mother-in-law and her 2 daughters. He then returned to his home in Boys Hot Springs, where he shot his wife, Angela Salcedo. He then went to the Grand Cru Winery, his place of employment, where he killed Tracy Tuvey, who was his co-worker at the time.
Who was a man.
Yes, Tracy was a man. He then fled after the killings to Mexico and was later arrested in Mexico on April 19th, 1989.
And his daughter, Tracy Tuvey's daughter, was actually at the school really close to where Tracy was killed. There was a school close by in elementary, and she was one of the kids on lockdown not knowing what was going on. She had no idea that her father had just been killed. I read that somewhere.
Why did he kill him? Do we know? We have to look more into that.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Was he just on a rampage? And
he was on a rampage, and I cannot remember what the reasoning was. I don't know if he thought that she was having an affair with him.
Oh, you know what? I think you might be right.
Maybe he liked her or something. So, you know, I could be wrong. I don't know the exact reasoning of why he killed Tracy Tuvey. But, you know.
His wife was only 24 at the time. And you know how we're all about the victims? We want to always remember the victims in our mm-hmm. stories. I'm going to just read off his victims, their age, and their names. So Angela Salcido was his wife. She was 24. Sophia Salcido, 4, was his daughter. Carmina Salcido actually survived. She was 3 at the time. Teresa Salcido was 1, also his daughter. Marion Louise Richards, 47, mother of Angela Salcido, so his mother-in-law. Ruth Richards, who was 12, who was Marion's daughter. Marion's other daughter, Maria Richards, who was 8 at the time. And then, of course, Tracy Tuvey, 35, who was the wine master at the Grand Cru Winery.
I thought that he had killed someone else. Or no, he attempted to kill somebody else at the winery,
there
but it didn't
work. There were two more injured. And I don't have their names. We can absolutely look that up when we do this case.
Yeah, because when we do the case, we'll look into more information on all the victims and see if we can't pull up some more stuff about them.
And, you know, he's currently serving life in prison at San Quentin. So that's where he's at right now.
And San Quentin prison is where? Did it say where it was located? Is it in California?
It's in California, yes. I don't have...
I think it's like Marin County, California, what it said. But I can't see the page right now. But we'll get on that later when we have that episode to feature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about little Polly Klass. Her name is Polly Hannah Klass. She was born January 3rd of 1981. And she passed away on October 1st, 1993, and she was an American murder victim whose case gained national attention on October 1st, 1993, at the age of 12. She was kidnapped at knife point during a slumber party from her mother's home in Petaluma, California. She was later strangled. Richard Allen Davis was convicted of her murder in 1996 and sentenced on death row. So, and he is currently, did you say, in solitary confinement?
At San Quentin as well.
Oh, he's in San Quentin
he
too?
He is at San Quentin too.
I mean, San Quentin's a big prison. People come from all over the place, is what
I saw.
This
is in the same, of course, it's in the same area.
Same county.
So,
yeah.
I remember this as well.
I remember this very well.
This is fucking awful.
You know, so he went in for my recollection is, and we're going to do this story as well, so we will research it more. So if this information is not correct, don't fact check that. I'm just kidding. You know, we want to add a little bit of fun into these awful situations. You know, the fact checking thing is one of our inside jokes that you probably know from our second episode.
Psycho Talk.
Which is one of my favorite episodes. Why don't you guys email us and tell us what is your favorite episode of ours so far? And also, besides our new
segment,
besides our new segment, why don't you just tell us what you like and what you don't like about our episodes? If you think there's room for improvement, we absolutely take constructive criticism. We also like the stuff that's positive. So if you give us something that's a constructive criticism, please make sure that you also add a positive in there. We don't want bashing. You know, we just want something that's going to make the podcast better for everybody.
Subscribed on iTunes. Please comment.
Like us. Give us as many stars as you think we need. Hopefully you all think we need 5. But that doesn't always happen. You can't please everybody all of the time. But if you could give us a good
review, rating, that would be great.
It would really make it better for us and
the
get our podcast higher up in the ranks, and hopefully more people can discover it.
Katie, can I tell you something?
Yes.
We are at 300,000 downloads right now.
Holy
300,000 downloads. That's fucking crazy. 300,000 people have listened to us.
Although I'm not sure how the stats work with the downloads, because maybe they've downloaded it from multiple things to listen
yes,
to us.
Yes, I think it counts everything.
But so. That's still 300,000 downloads. Right. Holy macaroni. Just two shedcasters here in my shed.
And it's raining right now.
It's raining. It's cold. But you know what?
We're still here, guys. We're here for you.
We love working in the shed. It's just the most amazing thing ever. You know, basically it's like an outside office, but it also has
our setup.
My Christmas decorations, my Halloween, you know, some other things. Shovels, you know, the huge.
Hashtag shedcasters for life.
Hashtag shedcasters. Hashtag shedcasters for life. I like that one. And so, as far as I know, we are the only podcast that's in a shed doing shed casting. I do know that there are people in garages and all sorts of different things. And hey, if you listen to someone else who is in a shed, email us that and we would love to listen to them.
Any podcast recommendations we'd love to hear, you guys? What are you listening to right now?
Yes, we do love listening to other people's podcasts. And let me just tell you this. We are not negative people. We want everybody to succeed in life. And if we can have fellow podcasters who are succeeding, we are so happy for them. We like to bring people up, not tear them down. And if other people like our stuff, we'd like to hear it too so that we know that we're doing a good job.
Yeah, I agree, Katie. That's a really good point. On another note, that just was last night. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but did you see the O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confessions?
I saw 1 minute of it. I turned the TV on. It happened to be on. And I said, oh my God, I need to record this because I was doing dinner.
I fucking missed it. But I
have it recorded.
Okay, so we'll watch it together. Yeah. But I saw a snippet of it on TMZ, and he straight up is confessing to the murders of Nicole Simpson. And
then nonchalantly trying to say he wasn't really confessing.
He says, this is all hypothetical, but I remember the blood being everywhere, and I remember stabbing them both at separate times, going back and forth, and I remember losing a glove. So he's confessing, and let me, why is this called, like, this was not recent. So why is this just now being released?
Yeah, it's older.
Someone was covering his ass.
But is he getting released soon?
He's already released. He's out.
How long ago has he been out?
A month, or maybe 2 months.
That's probably why.
Double jeopardy. He can't be tried again for the murder.
Yeah, but
that's
why.
Somebody saved this confession tape.
Yeah.
You know, and then releases it when he gets out of jail.
Does double jeopardy still work if you confess to it?
Yep.
That sucks.
So he's walking free, now finally confessing
because he knows that he can get away with it at this point.
Exactly. Isn't that sick? Doesn't that make you sick? I want to watch the whole thing, but...
Me too.
I just saw... It's all over the news. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's just... It's insane. I just wanted to bring that up because it's something that's happening right now. And I thought, oh my God, he is he's straight up confessing on tape, on
it's
film,
so crazy.
In an
it's
interview.
Nuts. Nuts. It's nuts, I tell you. Hashtag OJ is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, also, did you watch Waco?
I did. So I watched a little bit of Waco and the TV series. And the guy looks exactly like...
He did a really great job,
no,
too.
He's an amazing actor. He acts just like him. Because I watched...
I also watched
a special on the Waco. It was like some documentary.
I watched
last week about it. And, you
I need
know,
to watch that.
Oh, so good. I watch a lot of the reels, the channel reels and ID.
Let me ask you this. Did they ever recover that videotape of the first reporter who was reporting on site to hear that the people in the... What is the name of the house of those people?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember.
Anyway, we'll think of it later. But I'm wondering if that video ever surfaced.
I didn't see. I've never heard of that. True part. They didn't talk about that.
So in the beginning of the show, as you know, there was a reporter on site, and he was recording this on video while all of the police were shooting up the place.
And there were women and children in there.
Yes. And then it just disappeared.
Of course it did.
So I'm wondering if it was ever recovered or if it's just burnt. Probably burnt. But I wasn't sure if you saw it in one of your episodes.
No, I didn't see that. They didn't even talk about it. That wasn't even brought up. They were just... watch it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I want
to
watch it.
You guys need to watch it. It was... I believe it was on Reels. You can probably find it on demand. But it was about the Waco... the Waco situation and how they ended up blowing up the building. And they got most of the hostages out, most of the children out, but a lot of people died. A lot of people died.
Well, there was a lot more people in there than I thought was in there.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
They tried to cover it up. I mean, there was a big cover up, I think, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Definitely a cover up. Oh, excuse me. Definitely a cover up. And, I mean, for that video to go missing, that's obvious that it was a cover-up. Yeah. Because they went in and started shooting from this survivor's side. The survivor wrote about what happened. And this is published on these episodes for the TV series of Waco. And it's their account of what happened.
Exactly what happened.
So, you know, if he says or she says, I think it was a he, I don't remember. But if
the reporter,
the person who survived out of that,
well, they were interviewing people who were living in this.
Yes, one of the people that was living in it.
Yeah, they were interviewing people who lived in this. It was like a commune.
Yeah, but people called it a cult, and you know,
right.
And
there was a lot of I don't know what religion they actually. I don't know what religion they were practicing, but there was some religion that and he would just preach, and preach. And preach all day. And he had several wives. Got several women pregnant.
Well, and also, he said that none of the men in there could have sexual relationships with anyone.
That's right.
And even though these people were married to their husbands, he was the only one to be able to have sex with them. And it was for, quote unquote, the reason of, what, reproduction per God?
Yes.
I think that's what it was.
I'm looking up. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I would definitely check it out, but I can't remember what they were. The Davidians. Something Davidians.
Yes, Branch Davidians.
Branch Davidians. That was close.
God, it was good. And it was David Koresh. Was
David
the
Koresh.
Leader.
He was the
And
leader.
They called themselves the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I mean, that's a cult.
It was totally a cult, especially the way that he ran this shit.
Oh, yeah. He was just, I don't know, I can't believe that those people stayed. How brainwashed.
It was a 51-day siege ensued, ending with an FBI assault during which the compound burned down, killing 76 people inside, including David Koresh. 11 people who left the compound were actually arrested. But what were they arrested for? Because not everyone there was probably shooting back at the FBI, at the... You know, law enforcement.
You know, I'm not sure. Oh, I do remember, though, in the episodes that they said that the children were being abused. Maybe it's an unfit living situation.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. We can look into that a little bit further, too, at some point. That might not be a bad episode to have.
No.
And you know what? From our listeners, for our Chronicles, I would love to hear... some more of the episodes of stuff that we should be watching.
Yeah. Documentaries, TV series, like the murder of Giovanni Versace. I haven't watched.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear are you guys watching that? Let us know.
Right. And then definitely more, and it doesn't have to be just true crime stories. You know, like we had said earlier, it could be any story of something that's happened to you. Like,
do you have
UFO sightings?
Do you have a time traveler twin?
Are you a time traveler?
Are you a time... Because Katie is. That picture is crazy.
It's super crazy.
It looks just like you.
It's so crazy.
It's insane.
I should get a uniform that looks similar to that and pose and do a side-by-side.
Yeah, I know.
One of these days. But crazy. That's crazy.
No, and then, like, I would just love to hear personal stories, personal encounters.
You know, if you ran into a time traveler at some point in your life.
Or you saw someone that looked exactly. Because those pictures freak me out, and I'm still freaked out by them.
Like just the hipster? Like
the time traveling hipster. It still freaks me out. So can we talk about Polyclass, back to Polyclass? So,
yeah.
From what I remember, they could have saved her life.
Yeah, so right here, first of all, I think I already read up here, and then the down one kind of says the same thing, but it says, Polyclass and two friends were having a slumber party late in the evening. Richard Allen Davis entered their bedroom carrying a knife, tied both the girls up, pulled pillowcases over their heads, and told them to count to 1,000. I remember that. He then kidnapped scared class. So, from what I recall, she was in the trunk of the car.
Okay.
And he broke down on a back road somewhere. And just in case anybody showed up, he had taken her through the bushes, you know, on the side of the road. And I think he put a gag. What's the gag thing? Mm-hmm. Just a gag.
Yeah.
A gag in her mouth.
I thought he got stuck. His car got stuck.
Something happened along those lines. And then
he had to hide
her. She was tied within, 50 feet?
Yeah, 20 feet of the vehicle.
And when the police came. Were there.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, if they would have known. Because, see, the thing is those officers were in a different county. And I think that's the one is from the different county. And they hadn't yet gotten the information to keep an eye out for him. Because it had just happened. And
because the girls probably gave a sketch of what he looked like. And it probably hadn't reached that county yet.
It's the next county we looked.
County lines.
We looked and it was the next county up.
Right.
So up north from Sonoma County. And if she would have known they were there, even with the tape over her mouth or the gag in her mouth, or I can't remember what it was, would they have still heard her if she would have made noise?
I don't know, but they could have saved her twice, I heard. Like, one time he had her, I thought, in a ditch. And then one time he had her in a bush when the law enforcement approached him and he was sweating profusely.
That's the one I'm thinking of with the being tied up to a tree.
He had leaves and tree branches that stuck to him.
See? Because he had tied her up.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, close to the vehicle because the vehicle got stuck. And someone on that property called the police. And the police came. And oh my God, if they would have known, they could have saved her. 12 years old.
Luckily, these days, license plates as well as Amber information,
alerts.
Amber Alerts, but also the technology we have. You can send a text message, a picture, put it on Facebook, put it anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and you get the word out so quick
right.
that every police officer would know on time within this 100-mile radius to keep an eye out for this guy.
AKA, it's harder. It's harder to kidnap these days.
Yes, thank God.
Thank God for that. But I just remember this being such an awful story. And
it was.
In court,
I mean,
he was flipping the family off.
I will never forget that name ever in my life. I remember being a child. And my friend and I had a talk show on my boombox radio.
Which wasn't
me. It was
the
blank tapes. No, it was a different friend. Kindergarten days.
The lost
tapes. I know, we need to find these. Oh my God, I'd play them for you in a heartbeat.
God,
but we had a little radio show, and I remember saying something, and the only words I remember from it is something, something, Richard Allen Davis. And so that name has been in my head. I will never forget his name.
No, I know.
And, you know, I'm really glad that Polyclass's family started the Polyclass Foundation.
Right.
And if anybody is interested in donating money to them, they are amazing. They send out free kits to people who can get their children's fingerprints and information on a card
mm-hmm.
on just in case something happens.
Right.
You have their fingerprints.
Right.
So, I mean, how many
kids... they're in the system.
How many kids' fingerprints are in the system?
Zero.
You know?
I mean, so, who would think to do that?
Yeah, so...
You need to do it.
Polly's dad is just such an amazing
guy.
Bless
his heart.
Yeah, he... started this foundation. He did nothing but search and search and search and search. And... if I could
find it. It's polyclass.org, and it's polyclaas.org.
Perfect. So go check it out. If you can donate to that as well, it's a great charity. They don't only cater to Petaluma and Sonoma County. They're actually nationwide. So it's not like if you live in Kansas or New York or something that you can't donate to the one in California and then have benefits from it, because they benefit everybody. And I'm not sure if I read... did I read the part about strangulation, how she died?
No.
Okay, so she was born, Polly Hannah Klaas, January 3rd, 1981, in Fairfax, California. That's in the county lower than where she lived. It's right below her. We looked this up before coming on. We just wanted to see what that town was, since it didn't say... Petaluma. And as I said before, she died October 1st of 1993. She was 12 years old, and she did die in Petaluma via strangulation.
What a freak.
And they found the body discovered on December 4th. And this, I remember this. It was on the side of, so there's like a freeway going up north. And so she's from Petaluma, and you go up the freeway past a few different towns, bigger towns, and then it becomes countryside, and there's a small little town. And right outside of that town, on the side of the freeway, she was discovered.
In a shallow grave.
And it's just the saddest thing. I mean...
so young.
So far from her parents.
But to come into a house where there's a slumber party, can you imagine?
Nope.
And he takes her and then ties up either. That's like a... this is a movie.
But why not the other girls? Why not?
I don't know. Her? I don't know why he chose her. I thought maybe he did some sort of work for the parents at some point, yard work or something like that, or handyman, I thought.
Yeah.
And that's how he knew. That's how he knew. We have to look into that. That's how I thought that was how he knew her.
So we'll look into it, you know, a little further with our information on. This, we're going to do... oh, Winona Ryder, this is a fun fact.
Fun fact.
Winona Ryder, who's an actress, famous actress, she had been raised in Petaluma. She offered a $200,000 reward for Klaas's safe return during the search. After her death, Ryder starred in a film version of Little Women and dedicated it to her memory because that had been her favorite book. I didn't know that, or I didn't recall it.
Cool that she did that. So they actually dedicated Little Women, the movie, to Polly Klaas?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really neat.
Well, I don't know if they did, but she did.
She did. Because she grew up in that area.
Yeah, she's from Petaluma as well. It's what it says on here. So... on that, I think we'll go ahead and finish on the Polly Klaas part, since we're going to do an actual episode on that.
So Stacy also mentions the Zodiac.
Yes, she does. And you've seen the movie. The Zodiac, I mean, everybody's probably seen the movie, or at least the previews.
Anyone that's into true crime.
But I mean, the one with, what's that guy's name?
Jake...
yes, Daniel. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
So he was in it. He played a reporter. It was a really good movie. And it shows some of the stuff. And, you know, so there was a gal who was on the board of, I don't know if she was the senator, she wasn't a governor, of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a school bus incident. Different, obviously, than our friend Stacy, who emailed us. We don't know her, but we're calling her our friend now because she has emailed us.
And she's a huge Patreon supporter.
Yeah, so you know what? That's what friends do. They support each other. So she's our friend. And What was I saying? Before
the bus.
The bus. So the Zodiac had written in saying that he was going to blow up a school bus, and he knew the time scheduled and yada yada. Yeah. So all these kids were terrified to death on the school bus.
So poor and little Stacy is on that bus.
It's a different bus.
No, I know, but that's why they had the cops on the bus.
Yeah, absolutely. And then because of that clue that she did, he went dormant. No one knows who the real guy is, 100%.
Right.
Because she spilled the beans on a piece of information that shouldn't have been let out until after he was captured. And my grandfather is one of the people who worked on that case.
Right.
The case was in Sonoma County, Marin County, Solano County. Is Berryessa in Solano County?
Yeah, not in Napa County.
Napa County. So all of those counties is where he did his disgusting-ass thing.
In Lake Berryessa, that poor couple that was on a date by the lake, yeah. And he came up and shot them both. He shot them, right? Here, did he stab them? I believe he shot them.
I'll have to double-check. I mean, you think I would know more. But I'm hoping at some point in time
my grandfather
would be willing to interview, and he doesn't have to have the same, you know, he can just give us his first name if he wants to be anonymous, which is fine. So, you know, I think it would be really cool.
That would be awesome. Are you kidding? We're gonna interview my dad about his Ouija board experience. So that'll be an episode upcoming.
UFO?
And he also had a UFO sighting. And because it's my father, And my dad does not lie about things. He's one of those people where it's like, you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
And his friend was with him, and her name is Fran. And Fran has told me the same exact story. So it's been, you know what I mean? Like, it's backed up by somebody else. So I totally believe this story. But I want you to hear it and from out of his mouth and stuff. But we'll be doing that shortly as well. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a really great episode.
I agree. It'll be so fun. My dad is a fucking riot.
You know what I would like to do? I would like to contact somebody who lives in Sonoma County. Maybe a newspaper company or something. And see if we couldn't find somebody who knows something about the Zodiac case. Or, you know, for the first-hand knowledge. Or even... the Ramon Salcedo, people who used to party with him at the bars. I wouldn't mind finding someone. So if you guys out there know of anyone who has any degrees of separation, you know, 8 degrees of separation, 7, 6, 5, you know, 3 degrees of separation, whatever it may be, for any of these three cases, we would love to hear. Maybe your relative was Polly Class's neighbor.
Right.
Maybe you were next door to where Polly grew up.
Or maybe you just remember the story.
And what your thoughts and fears were about the story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? So, unless you've lived under a rock, I would assume that you've heard about this case, right, though, the Zodiac.
It's such a huge case.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a little snippet here, and of course, we're going to do more later. Sorry to repeat myself 6 million times. The Zodiac Killer, or Zodiac, was a serial killer who operated in Northern California from at least the late 60s to the early 70s. The killer's identity remains unknown. The Zodiac murdered victims in Benicia, Vallejo, Lake Berryessa, and San Francisco between December 1968 and October 1969. 4 men and 3 women between the ages of 16 and 29 were targeted. The killer originated the name Zodiac in a series of taunting letters sent to the local Bay Area press.
Right.
These letters included four, a cryptogram, I thought that was an E, thank you, cryptograms or ciphers of the four cryptograms sent, only one has been definitely solved. So this Zodiac killer, we have victims, 5 victims dead, 2 injured, possibly 20 to 28 total dead. He had claimed to have killed 37.
In one of his letters.
The span of the killings was the 60s to the 70s, and it was in California. And it also says, possibly also, Nevada. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read the names of the victims to close out this episode. So, the victims for the Zodiac Killer were, although the Zodiac claimed 37 murders in letters to the papers, investigators agree on only 7 confirmed victims, 2 of whom they are David Arthur Faraday, 17, Betty Lou Jensen, 16, shot and killed on December 20th, 1968, on Lake Herman Road, within the city limits of Benicia. I don't think everybody needs the coordinates of those, so no. We'll skip that part. Michael Renault McGow, I'm hoping I'm saying that right, 19, and Darlene Elizabeth Farron, 22, shot on July 4th, 1969, in the parking lot of Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo, while Magoo, how do you say that name? Magoo, I'm assuming, survived the attack. He survived the attack. I cannot believe that. Holy moly. Okay, so Farron was pronounced dead on arrival at Kaiser Foundation Hospital. Brian Calvin Hartnell, 20, and Cecilia Ann Shepherd, 22, stabbed on September 27th, 1969, at Lake Berryessa in Napa County. Hartnell survived 8 stab wounds to the back.
Thank God.
But Shepherd died as a result of her injuries on September 29th, 1969. Paul Lee Stein. So Paul is the first name. Lee is the middle name. 29, shot and killed on October 11th, 1969, in the Presidio Heights neighborhood of San Francisco, California. Then, we've talked about this case before, and I think we both kind of agree with all of the information that we read, because we are looking on information on a few different topics, and one of the topics happens to say that, make it to the name. Arthur Lee Allen could be the murderer.
I think so.
And I think so. Robert Graysmith's book, Zodiac, advanced Arthur Lee Allen as a potential suspect based on circumstantial evidence. Allen had been interviewed by police from the early days of the Zodiac investigations, and it was the subject of several search warrants over a 20-year period. In 2007, Graysmith noted that several police detectives described Allen as the most likely suspect. However, in 2000, Toshi stated that all the evidence against Allen ultimately turned out to be negative. We'll go into the other suspects and other information when we record this episode. And so we did say this was going to be a shorter episode, but it looks like it's about an hour long.
because we're quick chatters.
Which is fine. It's great. If we can get it to be a little bit longer, then that's awesome. So even though we said at the beginning that this is a short episode, I think we're just going to have it be a regular episode.
Yeah. We have a lot of information here about three really high-profile cases.
Exactly. And since it's not short, it's not a short episode.
No, but I'm really excited to get emails.
You know what we're going to do? And I just thought of this, so if you don't like it, obviously we don't have to do it. We need to frame that email and hang it up here in our shed.
Yeah.
And then the first five, we will frame and put on our wall, and we'll take a picture and put it on Instagram. And so we will need five more people to... Well, I want to get a total of six.
Okay.
Because it's an even number. Yeah, I'm OCD.
Yes, OCD.
So I'd love to get, you know, an even number, and we can put them up on the wall. We could date it, and just how exciting it is to have our amazing listeners...
Reach out.
Reaching out, being, you know, getting a part involved. Of it. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's really great that we could go back and forth and have a relationship with everybody. And hell, I don't even know where anybody lives that anyone that's going to mail us.
Yeah. I know we have had some Australian listeners, some Canadian listeners, and that blows my mind.
Yeah. And there was
really
a couple in the
it.
States. Well, there's a lot actually in the States, but there's someone in the States that had commented on how much they loved us as well. And the gal from England who drew those beautiful bunnies of us.
Ty Tinsley, yeah.
And
she's
Ty
amazing.
Tinsley is amazing.
Amazing artist.
Great artist. You can find her on Instagram. And she drew just the best, funnest picture. And we love fun.
You can find it on our Instagram.
Yeah, you can find it on our Instagram. We love fun. We love having fun. And we also love true crime, lore, phenomena, you name it. Paranormal, all that stuff.
Share your stories with us.
Yeah, and we just love all of that stuff. So we're really happy that we could do this as a podcast and have all you guys listen. So, you know, just email us your feedback, and I really hope to hear from you guys. It's something that we really like.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to see the emails come in and, you know, get some information from people. It's kind of like having a pen pal, like when we were in elementary school.
Yeah.
You took a pen pal?
Yeah, I had a couple.
So nowadays it's so much quicker. So if we get emails and you want a response back by saying, you know, what do you think? Or, you know, have a question about part of the email you sent, I think it would be really great that we could help answer it and back and forth.
Yeah,
we want to engage with you guys as much as possible. We really enjoy being here recording, and
you want to have fun.
You want to have fun. If there's something that's really, really, really serious for a huge episode,
then you guys can tell
we'll probably,
that we take it seriously.
Yeah, we'll probably have a little bit less fun with it. You know, we try to lighten the mood because it is a horrible situation for everybody.
Yeah,
and so you know we'll do what we can. This is a hobby, as we've explained. If we get more Patreon members, maybe we can have a little bit more than a hobby. If we can make an income through our Patreon, that would be really awesome.
Yeah, I agree. So thank you guys so much, and we hope to hear from you soon.
And this has been our first
listener
email
chronicles.
If you want to be on it,
Email us.
Hello. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we got off the phone?
No,
that's
it. I think we covered a lot today, and I just am really looking forward to receiving some emails, some feedback, and some listener chronicle emails. And then, of course, we have a new episode coming out soon.
Yep. You'll be sorry.
And you're going to... We've talked about it in previous episodes shortly. So you guys... We're going into detail on this one.
Working on it. We're definitely still working on it. We're doing the research. And
it takes
a little
bit.
Things have been going on to where things have been a lot busier these last couple months. So we haven't had a chance to do 3 hours or more a day to record, and then all the editing that we do it all by ourselves.
There's just
we record,
two of us.
We edit, we convert, we upload to iTunes, we get the RSS number from our host site. And also, that's another email topic. If you guys have experience with a host site that you really like that's reasonably priced, you know, right now we cannot afford a lot at all. It does add up. But if you have any host sites that you could recommend, we would love to hear from you in an email. So, for now,
Signing off.
That's a goodbye for now, and we will talk to you soon.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
Miss Holly.
Miss Haven.
Signing off.